Welcome to the debate. You know, if you've ever looked at a complex hydraulic system, there's usually this expectation of transparent measurement. You check the main pressure gauge on the central line, the needle rests comfortably in the green zone, and, well, you naturally assume everything is working perfectly.
Right. It gives you that false sense of security. You trust the big, shiny metric right in front of you.
Exactly. We like our stability to be measurable. But then you step into the world of local government and municipal taxation, and suddenly you realize that main pressure gauge is only measuring one pipe. Meanwhile, the localized valves further down the line they're practically bursting at the seams. And that tension between top-level stability and hyperlocal strain is the foundation of our discussion today.
It really is.
We are examining the shifting property tax landscape in Watauga County, North Carolina. And we're drawing heavily on Teresa Overcash's August 2026 real estate and tax analysis.
And I have to say, Watauga County is just such a perfect case study for this. It represents a broader crisis happening in mountain towns and, you know, destination communities everywhere right now.
Absolutely.
You have this explosive, hyper-local housing market driven by second homes, and it's just colliding with a very rigid local tax structure.
It really is fascinating. Right now, Watauga County commissioners have made a very deliberate choice to hold the countywide property tax rate completely flat for the upcoming fiscal year. The needle on the main gauge hasn't moved.
Right. Zero movement on paper.
Right. But at the exact same time, local municipalities inside that county, like the towns of Boone and Blowing Rock, are implementing massive double-digit tax hikes. And all of this is unfolding in the shadow of a mandatory countywide property reappraisal scheduled for January 1, 2027.
Which honestly makes the current situation feel a lot less like stability and more like someone ignoring a ticking clock.
Well, that brings us right to our central question. Does Watauga County's decision to hold its property tax rate flat represent a prudent, protective exercise in fiscal management for homeowners? Or does it merely mask deeper structural cost pressures that are being quietly offloaded onto the municipalities, pressures that are ultimately setting residents up for a severe financial shock when that 2027 reappraisal hits?
I think it's definitely the latter.
Well, I look at the county's flat rate, and I see a vital, intentional exercise in restraint. I mean, it is a necessary buffer designed to protect homeowners who are already bracing for a massive, unavoidable reset in their property values next year.
See, I look at that exact same flat rate, and I don't see restraint at all. I really don't. I see an illusion. I think it just forces the local municipalities to absorb all the genuinely rising costs of running a local government through steep rate hikes. And worse, it leaves homeowners structurally exposed to a devastating market reset without any legislative safety net.
Okay, let's break down what the county actually did here, because the mechanics are crucial. The commissioners chose to hold the baseline tax rate flat at $0.318 per $100 of assessed valuation.
31.8 cents.
Yes. That is a highly specific number. And we have to appreciate the mathematical leverage involved here. In a county with Watauga's massive tax base, a single penny on the tax rate equals roughly $1.44 million in annual revenue.
Which is a huge lever to pull.
Exactly. By freezing the rate at roughly 31 cents, which, by the way, is the second lowest county rate in the entire state of North Carolina, the county is actively choosing to absorb the pressures of inflation. They are starving their own potential revenue growth so that the taxpayers don't have to foot the bill right now.
I mean, I hear the rhetoric of restraint there. I do. But when you look at the reality on the ground, holding that top line number flat creates a deeply fragmented and honestly misleading tax environment for the average citizen.
Misleading how?
Because the cost of maintaining infrastructure, paying municipal staff, keeping the lights on, that hasn't miraculously disappeared. It has just been pushed downstream. Look at Boone and Blowing Rock. Both of those towns just had to implement 10% rate hikes. They moved from 40 cents to 44 cents.
Wait, let me just pause here to make sure I'm tracking the mechanics for the listener. If a house is inside the town limits of Boone or Blowing Rock, it's still geographically in Watauga County, right?
Correct.
So that homeowner pays the 31 cent county rate plus the new 44 cent town rate.
Exactly. They pay both. And if you listen to the interim town manager in Boone, Dale Presnell, he was painfully clear about why they needed that 10% hike. It wasn't for luxury municipal projects.
Right. And never is.
It was to fund basic, unglamorous necessities, aging water and sewer upgrades, retaining staff who, quite frankly, can barely afford to live in the county anymore, and just basic capital projects. The pressure is incredibly real.
It is, but
just to finish the math on that, if you own a $500,000 home inside Boone or Blowing Rock right now, that combined rate comes out to almost $3,800 a year. So when the county holds its rate flat and says, hey, look at our fiscal discipline, it completely obscures the real accumulation of expense pressures that the municipalities are forced to confront.
I get that, but
by pretending the cost of government isn't rising, the county is just lulling taxpayers into a false sense of security.
But isn't that just a reflection of how different overlapping jurisdictions work? Let's unpack the mechanics of that. The county successfully funded an $87.43 million general fund on a $15.02 billion tax base, and they did it without raising rates.
Because of their sheer size.
Exactly. Think of the county's flat rate as a fiscal shock absorber. Because the county has that massive $15 billion economic engine, they have the sheer volume to float capital expenditures over a longer time horizon.
But that only helps if you live in the county.
Which most do. For the vast majority of parcels in Watauga, the ones out in the unincorporated rural areas that only pay the county rate, this policy genuinely insulates them from inflation and rising administrative costs. The county used its massive scale to absorb the bumps in the road, meaning a $500,000 rural home pays about $1,590, period. No municipal add-on.
Okay, but I just don't buy the shock absorber analogy. I really don't.
Why not?
If the county is a shock absorber, then for the towns, the underlying pressure just broke straight through the suspension and cracked the chassis. You can't ignore that a huge portion of the county's economic engine is located within those town borders.
Sure.
Think about the leverage you mentioned earlier. A penny on the county's tax rate generates $1.44 million. But Blowing Rock has a much smaller tax base. It's about $1 billion. So a single penny on their rate generates only $174,000.
Right. They have significantly less leverage.
Precisely. And they have much denser, more expensive infrastructure to maintain per capita. Blowing Rock's town council adopted their tax hike despite intense public objections. You had residents showing up furious, criticizing the rapid process during public hearings.
No one likes a tax hike.
Right. And no local politician willingly faces that kind of blowback if they have a choice. They proved that the cost of local government services is unavoidably rising. So the county choosing not to help carry that burden at the top level, that isn't a shock absorber. It's an abdication of reality that forces the smaller towns to take the political and financial hit.
That is a fair point about the density of infrastructure in towns. I'll give you that. But look at it this way. The county's job isn't to bail out municipal water systems. Its job is to manage the baseline burden for every single resident. And keeping that baseline at 31 cents is the anchor of stability everyone needs right now.
But that anchor is totally meaningless if the sea level is about to rise 50 feet. Which brings us to the real elephant in the room.
The 2027 reappraisal.
Yes. We have to look past the current tax rates and look at the underlying taxable base. Everything we just talked about, a 10% hike here, a flat right there, it is literally just noise compared to what happens on January 1, 2027.
It is going to be a massive shift.
In North Carolina, counties operate on a statutory reappraisal cycle. Watauga is on a 5-year cycle. That means they haven't comprehensively reassessed property values since 2022.
Right.
So when 2027 hits, the new tax values are going to capture half a decade of intense compounding market appreciation all at once. The field appraisers from Vincent Valuations, which by the way is costing the county $38.50 per parcel, they're literally on the ground right now walking property lines, leaving door hangers.
Yeah, the process has already started.
And this isn't normal appreciation. Between 2022 and 2026, we are talking about an era driven by explosive second home demand, hyper-profitable short-term rentals, and just general scarcity in mountain towns.
Well, the market data Overcash provides is staggering. I mean, the median home price in Watauga County hit $657,500 by July 2026.
Staggering is exactly the right word. And the worst part is the residents are completely exposed. Recently, the state legislature passed Senate Bill 889. Let me quickly explain how that works. It essentially acted as a state-level pause button.
For the 2026 counties.
Exactly. It froze property taxes for counties that were conducting a reappraisal effective in 2026, specifically to protect them from this exact post-pandemic real estate bubble. Guilford County and several others got this moratorium. It protected the citizens. But Wadatooga?
They were on the 2027 cycle.
Right, because their statutory cycle hits in 2027. They miss the boat. They get nothing. Homeowners are going to absorb 5 years of unprecedented housing inflation practically overnight. So the county patting itself on the back for a flat rate in 2026 seems incredibly short-sighted when you look at the tsunami coming in 2027.
Okay, I agree entirely that the market shift is going to be a severe shock to the system. But the mechanics of how property taxes are calculated actually prove my point here. Let's look at the formula. Your tax bill is your assessed property value multiplied by the tax rate. You just outlined beautifully how the first half of that equation, the assessed value, is about to absolutely explode.
Right, it's going through the roof.
Well, if the county commissioners had raised the base rate now, say to 35 or 36 cents to match the municipalities and cover inflation, they would be baking a higher multiplier into the formula right before the underlying asset value skyrocket.
I see what you're saying, but...
By stubbornly locking in the second lowest county rate in the state, they are ensuring that when that $657,500 median market reality hits the books in 2027, the new values are multiplied against the lowest possible fixed rate. The county can't control the real estate market. They didn't anticipate this exact curve back in 2022. But they can control the multiplier. Holding the rate flat is the only proactive tool they have to minimize the compound effect of the reset. It's an act of vital preservation.
That assumes the county won't just adopt a revenue-neutral rate in 2027 that still results in higher bills for residents whose specific property values outpace the county average. But honestly, let's step away from the theory and talk about the practical reality.
Okay.
Because when those reappraisal notices arrive in the mail in early 2027, the philosophical debate about multipliers ends and the administrative nightmare begins for the homeowner.
Nightmare is a very strong word. I would argue the administrative reality is actually designed to empower the citizen.
Empower? How is it empowering?
Because the system provides a rigorous, evidence-based appeals process. Look, we both know that mass appraisal models, like the one the county is paying Vincent Valuations millions to execute, are blunt instruments. A computer algorithm looking at aerial photography in broad neighborhood trends, it cannot know that your basement flooded last year or that your roof is caving in.
True.
But the state provides a surgical tool for the citizen to correct that blunt instrument. If a homeowner thinks the mass model got it wrong, they don't just have to accept it, they can appeal.
But think about what that appeal actually requires.
It requires data. The homeowner can present 3 to 5 closed comparable sales from the multiple listing service, you know, the MLS. They can provide current condition photos proving interior damage. They can pull their building permit trails or ideally submit a recent independent appraisal. Doesn't the fact that the Board of Equalization and Review allows a single homeowner to override a mass appraisal model with precise granular data prove the system is ultimately self-correcting?
It proves the system exists, but calling it self-correcting completely ignores the bureaucratic friction and the timeline involved here. Let's look at the actual template from the last reappraisal in 2022 that Overcash lays out in her analysis.
Sure.
The notices were mailed out in mid-March. The board convened in early April, and the informal appeal deadline slammed shut by late April. April 26th at 5 p.m. to be exact.
Right, a standard administrative window to finalize the tax base.
Standard for a government bureaucrat, maybe. It's a severely compressed, 3-week window to execute a complex, forensic real estate analysis. Think about it. You are asking the average taxpayer, who, by the way, does not have a real estate license, who does not have access to the MLS to pull closed comparable sales, to build a professional-grade case in 21 days.
They have options.
What was your other suggestion? An independent appraisal? 3 weeks? I can't even get a plumber to call me back in 3 weeks, let alone secure a licensed appraisal, which, again, costs hundreds of dollars that the homeowner has to pay out of pocket.
I understand it's a tight turnaround.
It's asymmetrical warfare. the county pays a private professional contractor $38.50 per parcel to conduct this mass valuation over years, and then gives a school teacher or a mechanic 21 days to disprove it with professional-grade evidence. That is an empowerment. That is an unreasonable bureaucratic burden designed to ensure that the vast majority of homeowners simply get overwhelmed, give up, and accept the higher valuation.
I just can't agree with that framing because it severely underestimates the resources everyday people have at their disposal. As the Overcash analysis explicitly notes, this is exactly where local real estate professionals step in. Agents can, and routinely do, pull those MLS comparables for their clients.
Yeah, if you know the right people.
And for homeowners who are already planning to refinance or update their estate plans, they can intentionally time their independent appraisals for early 2027 so they have the paperwork ready.
But they have to know to do that now.
Exactly. Which is why the advice is to build the file now while you have the time, rather than panicking when the letter arrives in March. But we have to acknowledge why the strict timeline exists. The county has to finalize the total value of the tax base so they can actually draft the summer tax bills, pass a budget, and fund the government.
I know, but
if the appeals process dragged on for 6 months, the entire fiscal mechanism of the county, you know, paying teachers, paving roads, funding emergency services, it would grind to a massive halt. The burden of proof naturally has to fall on the property owner because they're literally the only ones with intimate, inside-the-walls knowledge of their specific property's condition.
But listen to what you're saying. The homeowner has to rely on a local real estate agent doing them a favor just to access the basic MLS data needed to fight the assessment. The system inherently obscures the tools needed to challenge it. And if that rushed, informal appeal fails,
then you go formal.
Right. Then the citizen has to go to a formal board hearing. And if that fails, they have 30 days to appeal to the State Property Tax Commission in Raleigh, which requires a level of legal and procedural fluency most people simply do not possess. So let's look at the whole picture here. Municipalities hike rates 10% because costs are rising. The county holds its rate flat to look fiscally conservative, and then they outsource the inevitable massive revenue increase to a computer algorithm, leaving the citizen with 3 weeks to fight back. It is structurally exhausting.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely requires active civic engagement. I won't deny that. But requiring citizens to engage in local taxation is a feature of local government, not a bug. Look, the county commissioners are navigating an incredibly volatile, hyper-local real estate market. By holding the line at 31 cents, they are providing the one necessary deliberate anchor of stability that homeowners can rely on as they prepare for the 2027 valuation shift.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the alternative. Without that restraint at the county level, homeowners in Boone and Blowing Rock wouldn't just be dealing with municipal hikes and rising market values. They'd be dealing with a compounded top-level county rate increase on top of everything else.
And I maintain that localized stability is an illusion. It is a political choice that looks great on a flyer, but it masks the severe municipal cost pressures, forcing those towns to hike rates, and it leaves citizens completely exposed. By the time January 1, 2027 rolls around, that 31-cent rate is going to be applied to a drastically inflated baseline. And taxpayers are going to realize that they were left structurally vulnerable while the county claimed it was protecting them.
Well, we clearly view the protective value of the county's flat rate through very different lenses. But as we look toward 2027, there are some undeniable points of convergence here. We both entirely agree that the lack of Senate Bill 889 protection, combined with the reality of a housing market where the median price is sitting at $657,500, means the January reappraisal is going to fundamentally alter the financial landscape of Watsika County.
Oh, absolutely. The math is coming. Regardless of how you feel about who is carrying the burden right now, that reset is inevitable. And I think we also both agree that immediate proactive preparation is the only defense. A homeowner simply cannot wait until they open that envelope in March of 2027 to start figuring out if their basement remodel was permitted correctly or what the house across the street just sold for. The timeline is just far too unforgiving for that.
It really is a profound reminder of the complexity of local taxation. We're looking at overlapping jurisdictions, rigid 5-year legislative cycles, and hyper-local real estate dynamics fueled by second home demand, all interacting to create an incredibly challenging environment for the average taxpayer.
It demands that the taxpayer look past the headline numbers. You can't just trust the top line rate. You have to understand the mechanics of your specific town and your specific parcel.
Which brings us right back to the pressure gauge we started with. You might look at the county's 0.318 tax rate and think the main system is reading completely normal. But as we've explored today, between the municipal rate hikes in Boone and Blowing Rock, the looming expiration of a 5-year appraisal cycle, and the incredibly tight window of the appeals process, there is an immense amount of pressure building up in the pipes. I highly suggest our listeners dive deeper into Teresa Overcast's source material to fully understand their specific parcel's exposure before the valves open next year.
Definitely worth a close read.
Does that flat rate gauge represent brilliant fiscal engineering that will hold the system together, or is it just a faulty dial masking an inevitable flood? We will leave that ultimate conclusion up to you.